Dad up, fathers.
You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
And good morning. This is Wednesday Live, and we have a little intro. We're going to have a spot for upcoming events, and we'll be right back. Stand by.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Hello, friends. This is Paul Wilbur with Integrity Music, and I want to invite you to a very special event. Please join me and my dear friend Rabbi Jonathan Kahn for an evening of praise and worship and inspiration. Join us with Treasure Coast Christian Alliance Day of Prayer, September 26th, in the Fenn Center, Fort Pierce, Florida. For more information, go to tccalliance.com. I will stand with Israel.
Tickets are available for a donation of $20 at tccalliance.com or call 772-324-9313.
Hey, everybody. This is Jonathan Kahn, the author of The Harbinger, The Return of the Gods, and now The Dragon's Prophecy. Join me with my dear friend, Paul Wilbur, who's going to be doing worship, an evening of praise and inspiration, and I'm going to be giving a prophetic word, and it's going to be at the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance Day of Prayer, September 26th, in the Fenn Center at Fort Pierce, Florida. I'm going to be praying for Israel, I'm going to be praying for America in these prophetic times. For more information, go to tccalliance.com. That's tccalliance.com. I'll see you there. Shalom.
All right. And of course, that was Paul Wilbur and Jonathan Kahn inviting you to come to the event that is going to be tomorrow evening. And I want to just welcome those in the studio. Karen, welcome.
Good to be here.
I had to drag you in here this morning because she's excited. We have another guest. Daniel, want to welcome you. Daniel Diaz.
Thank you.
That's Diaz or Diaz? Diaz?
Diaz.
Diaz. Okay. Daniel's with us. You're going to get acquainted with Daniel. He's a great guy. But I had to pull Karen away because she's so excited. We have new software we're getting ready to implement.
Yes, and I need every waking moment to get it figured out.
So you came in from the rainstorm this morning having an epiphany. It
yes,
was like there were
exactly.
lights and sirens and bells and God was talking. And what was the epiphany this morning?
Well, just with the new software, we're going to be able to have that in your car. So when you turn on the radio, you're going to be knowing who's talking, what song is playing, and who the artist is. Or
we're going to crawl off the ark and actually people will be able to see. They'll get some information in their radio? Oh,
yes,
cool.
Except for the 89.9, which is all I see in my car.
That's all you see?
Yeah, so I'm just, trying to get the information in their phone numbers and who it is talking, whose program it is.
So. All right, so that's exciting. That's coming together, and we might not actually walk on water until after our fundraising that's coming up.
Yes.
That is coming up,
well,
right?
After, yes.
When is that coming up?
I believe that's October 7th.
You're correct.
We'll be here bright and early.
For 2 weeks. And Karen is, she is the early bird that sort of arrives still propping one eye open in the morning when we get started at 7 in the morning. So anyhow, that's coming. Incidentally, as far as we know, though we will be praying for our state and for those who are going to be impacted by this storm that is out there blowing around on the other coast. Actually, it's out in the waterways. But as far as we know, all of the reports that we're getting, all of our counties south, all the way up through Palm Beach, Martin, St. Lucie, and I even think Indian River County as well.
Yeah.
All of our counties are clear. We're not under any threats at this point. We'll have some rain. But we're Floridians. We've had rain like crazy already. I think it was just the other day, close to 4.5 inches in St. Lucie County in some areas in 1 hour.
Yeah.
4.5 inches in an hour. I think they're saying there could be a few inches of rain out of this. But we're Floridians. Obviously, you're going to want to drive safe. But if you do not have your ticket yet to be a part of this event, I will stand with Israel. Paul Wilbur will be with us with his team. His son is coming, Nathan. I believe Shay is going to be coming, and Shay is going to be part of the worship with Paul Wilbur. So we're going to have worship with Paul Wilbur. We also have some other guests that are going to be coming and sharing as well. I think Nathan's going to be sharing some. I believe Raleigh Washington is going to be with us, who will be sharing. And we also have, I got a sticky note. Okay, Shay's not going to make it, so that flight didn't make it. But so I won't promote that anymore. But Paul's going to be there with his team, and we already have a tech that's in town, so they're starting to gather, and we are moving ahead. Jonathan Kahn will be arriving sometime tomorrow as well. And so his newest book, The Dragon's Prophecy, is just out, just out. We interviewed him last week. I believe it was the last Wednesday. These Wednesdays are running together, but we just interviewed him. This is a book, Daniel, I don't know how familiar you are with Jonathan Kahn, but it is a prophetic book that addresses Israel and all the prophetic utterances from the prophets throughout the Word of God into current events today. And it's not like a novel read. As one pastor just told me, one of the pastors that I have a lot of respect for, said, Jonathan, this has some rich theology in it. It actually addresses evil and where it came from and why does it exist. And a very important part that I caught in those first few chapters is that evil actually testifies to the veracity of truth. And so all of this is unpackaged in this upcoming book. Anyhow, Jonathan Kahn's going to be with us, and he is a New York Times, they have to give him the first place because he's just been there so many times. And he said they may not love to do it, but they're required to do it because it's just the reality. And so, Daniel, what that tells me is that a lot of people are saying the world's coming apart, things are messed up. We don't know what's happening with the wars, where that's going to end up with Israel, and we're not sure what's going to happen with politics in our nation. We have a lot of division. We've had a lot of issues over racism. A lot of things, you know, have just circulated. But then we have the whole thing with the economy, and how do we survive financially, fiscally, in this messed up world? So, welcome.
Thank you.
I understand you're a born-again guy.
Yes. Yes, I am. Got saved July 22nd, 2001.
You remember?
Yeah, I was an atheist and I had an experience with the Holy Spirit.
How did that happen?
Well, I was an atheist from 93. I was 9 years old. And because my mom was in a cult, and when she decided to leave, they threatened to kidnap me and my brother. They started showing up to our house. My mom had to get a restraining order. I'm like, this is what Christianity is all about at the age of 9. I don't want to be a part of it. And school taught evolution, so I hooked onto that. And I was an evangelical atheist all throughout elementary, middle school, until ninth grade in 1999. I was on the football team. I remember talking to one of my other offensive linemen. I'm a big guy for those that are listening. And he was an atheist and how he was depressed. And I remember that night, I went to bed crying because if I died, I ceased to exist, and that was just terrifying for me.
Wow.
And I woke up in a sweat, and I said, there has to be something else other than this life. So it started a one-year journey of searching and looking for answers, and I couldn't find any answers outside of the church, so I decided in 2000 to start going where all the crazy people went. I'm going to go to church and see if I can find an answer. So, I mean, I wasn't a good kid back then. I was doing some things, and I was in a local gang. I was selling drugs when I was in middle school and high school. And I remember I did a deal at the church, and immediately there was this conviction. I'm like, this has never happened before. And
God touched you. You had a God encounter.
And he started whispering and hitting me. And I started debating with the youth pastors about evolution, carbon dating, all this stuff. And after months, like, look, Danny, you know, we do this every Wednesday at the youth meetings. You keep coming, you'll find what you're looking for, because we can debate forever, but just keep coming. Then they invited me to a retreat called Wild Week by Ken, I think it was Ken Freeman, who was the pastor. And I remember the first day we went up there was in Panama Beach, Florida. We had a congregation in the auditorium of the hotel, the resort, and he was preaching about his life, and he was talking about how when he grew up in the streets of Chicago, he was suicidal, an atheist, you know, selling drugs.
He related to that.
He's like, how many you feel? I mean, he was talking to me.
Wow.
And he said, he asked all the students, there's maybe about 1,000 kids there. He said, everybody close your eyes. And those of you that felt that or feel that way, stand up. And I looked around. There was maybe 20 kids that stood up, sit back down. Then he talked about how Christ changed his life and gave him hope, and just went through like how he had joy. He no longer suffered. You know, how many of you want to feel that? I stood up along with everybody else. Then he asked the youth ministers to stand up and form a circle and walk in a counterclockwise circle, praying for those youth in their groups.
Wow.
And then he told the story of Jericho. And then he told, after he told the story of Jericho, he mentioned to the youth pastors, at the count of three, I want you to yell at the top of your lungs to tear down these spiritual walls of Jericho, to let the Holy Spirit into this room. I just heard a story about literal walls collapsing, and I'm looking around in the middle of the room, like, get me out of here, but I can't. There's kids everywhere. Screaming. So he says a few words, says one, says a few more words, says two, says a few more words, says three. The youth ministers yell at the top of their lungs, and I literally feel the building tremble, and I felt the Holy Spirit come into me. I stood up in the shape of a crucifix, and maybe five or six other kids did the same thing, and I knew instantly that he was real.
Wow.
So God knew, and a lot of Christians do not have a personal experience of the Holy Spirit. And
so they're at risk.
No, that's not it at all. My point is, because I throughout my life since then, I mean, this was in 2001. I think I was 16, 17 years old. People are like, well, how did I get that? I'm like, eventually I just came to the conclusion. I'm like, listen, God knew to get me.
Yeah.
He had to.
That's what it took.
He had to touch me. And not everybody needs that, because I'm such a skeptic. I am such an analytical person. That he knew to grab my heart, he had to actually hit my heart.
I believe everybody needs that, because they're going to face some dark moment when religion, in and of its best capsule, does not meet the need.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, it's the God encounters in my life, not just the one, but the God encounters in my life that have validated on an ongoing basis, not only that God is real, but that God is real in me, and that God has me here on assignment. So, Daniel, listen, it's awesome to have you with us this morning. Your family is from Cuba?
Yes, but I'm 100% Cuban. I was born in North Cuba, called Hialeah. So yes, okay. You're authentic.
You're authentic, like. Well, actually, I am a Floridian. You know, I'm a gator bite. I crawled out of the swamp. But, well, that's awesome. So this is your family. Your family actually came into the States when?
My mom came in 1965. My dad was born here, but my grandparents fled Cuba in like the I think 57. So when my grandmother was pregnant with my dad. And yeah, they came here with literally, I mean, that's part of my story with why I do what I do and politics and everything.
Well, you know, I started printing this out and I'm like, oh no, you know, I've got a real braino here that I've got to talk to this morning. And so, you know, let's see what's going to happen. But God kind of put us together. We won't go through that story, but I thought I was calling a pastor in Miami and I got you, and you're actually, I think, north of us a little bit, up in the Vero.
About an hour north.
And so what has brought you into the financial arena? I know you've been involved in political things. You've got one master's degree in
government with a concentration in public administration and political theory, and I have about 2.5 years of seminary training. I never finished my degree from Regent University.
Okay. So you know, you've spent some time learning. You have some observations and such forth, but
Sound money.
Sound money for
citizens.
Citizens for sound money.
Yes.
Because I was not putting the four in, the number four.
You're so putting F-O-R.
How would people find you?
They can go to citizens, the number four soundmoney.org.
Okay.
And if they're on Twitter, it's at the number four sound money. And same thing with YouTube. It's four sound money, number four sound money.
Okay. All right. So that's the best way to get a hold of you through there. All right. So when we were talking a bit, I believe a lot of people have questions about, you know, how do we protect what we have?
Yeah.
How do we survive in the days that we're living in? Where are the markets going, or where is the world going, and what happens with finance? And, you know, I get emails every day from people wanting to sell gold and silver. We have others that are looking at cryptocurrencies and other things. In fact, I just saw the president at some bar somewhere, Long Island or someplace, where he was making a crypto purchase.
Yeah. He was a keynote speaker at Bitcoin 2024.
Okay.
I was there. I mean, he is completely pivoted from when he was president in 2016 through 2020 to being not sure or anti-crypto for the most part, to being 100% for crypto.
And what is this organization his family's coming at, or just come out with, or they're coming out with some kind of a
it's a cryptocurrency. I did not read the article. I was busy doing some other things with work, but I saw that come out either yesterday or the day before yesterday. They launched their official Trump coin, and I think it's a series of Trump coins. So yeah, I mean, it's just a cryptocurrency. Anybody can make a cryptocurrency. I can make a cryptocurrency for the radio station and create a supply. It's very easy. It's just There's a lot of nuances to the whole crypto side, and
Okay, so you've had some experience with the stock market.
Yeah.
You've had a lot of different experiences. What do you do now?
Yeah, so I am the executive director of Citizens for Sound Money. Prior to that, I was an entrepreneur. And I was I've been in politics for 23, going to be 24 years as a consultant, because at the age of 16, I promised myself I'd never allow what happened in my family's country to happen in my country. So I've dedicated my life, and every decision that I have made and every door God has opened has been for that mission. I'm one of those few people that have known what I'm going to do the rest of my life since I was 16.
That's awesome.
And I'm
another guy like that. So we just connected on another.
There you go. And, you know, I have a long political career. I've worked on presidential campaigns, down to municipal and everything in between. I've run PACs, super PACs. We have a super PAC now for our organization. I've lobbied for the Christian Family Coalition for years with Tony Verdugo down in Miami. And I think there's 12 chapters in Florida now for Christian Family Coalition. So all that eventually led me to going to grad school to become a pastor. I didn't finish my degree and to get my master's. And that's how I got into finance. I became an insurance agent full-time while I was in grad school. Then I wanted to help more people, like with savings, and then I became a stockbroker after I graduated from grad school. But I hated the greed of Wall Street so much, I went back to politics.
Wow. Really? It must be really bad.
Oh, it's horrible. Oh, it's horrible. It's just, you know, the difference between being an insurance agent is that, you know, you're trying to protect families. You're trying to protect loved ones if somebody passes.
Right, exactly.
Then you go to the stock market, and your colleagues that are stockbrokers, financial advisors, all they care about is the almighty dollar and making as much profit
for them. They don't care.
Yeah. They will push products that aren't good for their clients, but they'll try to sell it to their clients.
Yeah.
So now, so this goes back to 2020. I was anti-crypto, anti-Bitcoin. And my business partner at the time said we should buy Bitcoin. It was at like,
why were you anti?
Because at the time, I mean, when you become a stockbroker, you get an entire education on how the entire financial system works. You realize that the dollar...
Indoctrination.
Yeah. But you learn about all types. You learn about bonds, securities, mortgage-backed securities, how it all works.
So a lot of information.
You learn about the fiat economic system. Fiat means by decree in Latin, so the dollar is no longer backed by anything. It just by the decree of the government, a dollar is worth a dollar. But what does that mean?
Right.
So I was brainwashed to believe that that was real money in their real economy. And I said, no, there's no way. This is like Tulip. It's like the Tulip situation in Holland. It's just, there's nothing back in it. Long story short, my friend and my business partner had me watch a video. And this video was by Don Tapscott on the power of blockchain technology and how it's changing the world. And for me, it wasn't the great things about Bitcoin that got me, and how it's immutable, how it's peer-to-peer. There's nobody can steal it. What got me was the fact that he said near the end of his talk that the immutability, he's like 70% of the world's population have tenuous titles and deeds, meaning that they don't own the land. The government leases the land to them for 100 years or whatever.
What percentage?
70% of the world's population do not own their property.
Wow.
And he's like, in Nicaragua, they're in the Contra situation. They actually destroyed government documents, put their communist friend's name on land, went with soldiers with guns, pointed it at the landowners like, hey, your deed says this, but the government says my friend owns this land. Get off.
Wow.
Pointed a gun. He's like, imagine if we put these land deeds and titles on the blockchain. It can't be deleted. And 100 years from now, you can always prove you're the owner because it can never be altered. And a light bulb went off. I'm like, holy cow. If we had blockchain technology in the 50s and the communist regime took over, we'd be able to prove that we own the farmland and the buildings and the businesses
in Cuba.
And if the regime ever was overthrown, we can either get that back or get reparations.
Right.
And I realized that blockchain technology can provide more freedom economically, politically, and personally than I thought at the time any political activity of man. So then I became a Bitcoin supporter. Within 3 months, I did enough research. I opened up a Bitcoin mining consulting company, which led me to creating a gold and silver project, which is what connected me with Citizens for Sound Money. And then just my background in politics and my background in finance, kind of just, they offered me a position as legislative director, and then they asked me to take over the organization. Wow. Executive director.
Wow. Karen, did you get all that?
I did. Very interesting because I didn't think that don't follow any of this.
She's saying she didn't think it would be interesting.
It's really, but it's so interesting the way the Lord has led you through
worked
all
in your
of
life.
This. Yeah.
Yeah. The founder of my organization passed away tragically in March, March 15th. And I remember when we first lobbied, we were talking in New Hampshire. We were staying in his son's apartment, or he was staying there. We were just hanging out, and we looked at each other, and we're like, man, it feels like everything that we've done in our life has prepared us for this exact moment. Like, wow. God has brought us together
wow.
for this exact moment in time because of what is happening around the world. Like,
amen.
His experience, he was a former state senator.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Okay. We're gonna need a whole lot more time with you, but we have like 8 minutes, and okay. I want you to get to the heart of what we're getting to. We did have one question that came in,
yeah,
because we have a lot of stuff going on, and I have John Stemberger that's on standby,
okay.
who is going to be talking with us today as well, and I'd like to just hang out in the studio if
yeah.
you can, well, because you
kind
of know him.
See, yeah,
this will be cool. So. We have a question that came in.
Absolutely.
We have people wanting to know, again, what do we do? How does all this tie together into Karen's life,
yeah.
my life, you know, someone else that's saying, listen, I'm buying some silver. Is that good? Is it bad? What do you recommend? How
yeah.
should I do it? Should I leave it in their vault? Should I, you know, can I trust anybody? Is, you know, with Bitcoins, is it, you know, I know people that have been ripped off thousands of dollars. So,
yeah, so the most important thing for me is blockchain technology, and it, like I told you, is the mutability. Gold and silver is God's money. He created the universe, and it takes so much power. Scientists say the amount of energy it takes to make gold is two neutron stars colliding and ejecting the amount of explosive power and energy. That's the only way to make gold. There's not enough energy on Earth right now to make gold because it was created by the Creator.
And
wow. it has been money for millennia. We've used it for money. And we were using it for money until 1971 when Nixon took us off the gold standard, the Bretton Woods standard. So we now have something invented by man, and it is ruining everything. The dollar isn't money. What is money, right? There's three general characteristics of money. One is a medium exchange. Anything can be a medium exchange. There's water bottle, coffee cup.
Right, right.
Unit of account, meaning like 100 pennies make a dollar, an ounce of gold, an ounce of silver, so forth. But the third thing that qualifies as money is a store value. The dollar is not that. The dollar, the yen, the euro, the inflation, the simplest definition of inflation is the printing expansion of the monetary supply. It's simple math. If you have a lot of stuff, if you have a lot of something, the demand isn't there. You have too much supply. Same thing happens with currency. And that's what the dollar is, and that's what the yen is. If you have to use the proper terms, the dollar is a currency, gold and silver is money. Because you can put, here's a perfect example that I use when I'm lobbying. Back in 1910, an ounce of gold was $20. And I would use an actual physical representation. I said, this $20 bill used to buy an ounce of gold. Today, you need about 20 bills to buy the exact same amount of gold. This gold just been sitting there. What changed was the supply of the dollars. And that's by printing currency, the government and the Federal Reserve is stealing the people's wealth. In fact, it was Lenin that said that is the easiest way to steal the wealth of Americans and destroy the capitalist system by creating this fiat economic system through Keynesian economics. And that's we can talk about that next time I'm on.
Okay.
But what I have been recommending to people is to, especially with what's happening right now in the economy, we're in a recession. All the data and all the indicators show that we are probably going to have the worst recession since the Great Depression, because of there's something called the SOM test, which is the change of unemployment over a one-year period. And the minute it gets over 0.5% growth in a one-year period, it indicates we're already in recession. And 100% of the time, when the Federal Reserve cuts rates when we're already in a recession, it leads to even a worse recession.
Which just happened.
And the stock market collapses between 50 to 80%. And they're predicting, because of how long we've been in this recessionary time, it's about 700 days, The in perspective, the Great Depression, we were only in this yield curve between the 10-year treasury and the 3-year treasury for 500 days during the Great Depression. We're over 700 days now. They're predicting anywhere from an 80 to 90% drop in the stock market. So I'm advising people and giving personal advice. This is not financial advice. This is me as a person, individual friend, people advice as an individual. Put as much of your currency, because all money is a representation of the energy you exert for a wage or a good, right? So right. You're here at this radio station doing work, and then you get paid a wage.
Right.
That's all money is. The best form of money is gold and silver, because it stores and retains value. The dollar is just monopoly money, in my opinion. They just keep printing and printing. So yes, there's a question I want to answer, which that's why I led up to this.
Okay.
Question for Daniel. I have just started getting silver coins at the rate of 3 coins per month. I now have 6 coins. Should I be using part of my savings, let's say $5,000, and boost my investment at this time? I'm going to give the answer the way that I actually invest. I do an 80-20 ratio. 80% gold, 20% silver. Because gold is a lot more stable, has kept up with inflation, has grown more. Silver is a little more speculative because it's so industrial. It's used in the medical field. It's used in military industrial complex. In fact, every single Tomahawk warhead, I think, has over 100 ounces of silver in each warhead.
Really?
And every single time it blows up, it just disappears, right? It evaporates. I mean, we're using it in every single electronic, your phone, these headphones, silver's in everything. So there is a concerted effort to keep the price of silver down. Yet, it still keeps up with inflation. I mean, gold and silver keeps inflation, but gold keeps inflation higher. And there's a lot of people out there that think silver has a lot more to move. So think about it. If silver goes up $3, that's 10%. If gold goes up $3, it's like 0.001%.
Right, sure.
So there's a lot more potential. So it's a lot more speculative. But it's real money, and it keeps up with inflation. But if you're trying to preserve your wealth, I recommend an 80-20 split or 75-25 split of gold and silver.
Okay, how do people find you again?
They can go to www.citizens4, soundmoney.org. And we have a brand new membership program called the Pioneer Member. If you join, you get access to our bullion aggregator, which shows you the cheapest bullion rate that you can buy online. It's $25 a year, and you're supporting our mission, because what we do is try to make gold and silver legal tender across the country. We have legislation in Florida and in 27 states last year. We're hoping to get it passed this year and a lot more. So,
still have a minute.
Oh, great. Cool. So by joining as a member, we'll eventually create state chapters, and we'll train you on how to be a citizen lobbyist to help push the legislation through. I mean, this is our main organization. Our mission is to promote the use of sound money and protect people's rights to do so. And we protect people's rights by making gold and silver legal tender. Right now, there's only 6 states in the country that recognize gold and silver as legal tender. And we need to get a lot more, because I think the way that the economy is going, and the fact that the BRICS nation, BRICS stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and I think there's now another 9 or 10 countries that are in it, and there's a lot more being added. It's basically the Global South. They do not allow any Western country to join. They're about to announce in October that they're launching a 40% gold-backed currency for those nations.
Wow.
And when that happens, it's going to decimate the dollar.
All right, Daniel Diaz, it's awesome to meet you. Awesome to have you in the studio. I kind of feel like we just went on a whirlwind explanation of kind of where we are with things. I really want to talk to you about, you know, have you back in and talk about how people can get started, what kind of a budget they need to have, how can you trust.
Yeah.
How do you know who you can trust? I mean, these are some things we got to talk about when I get you back on air.
Absolutely. And just quick, for those who only have a little bit of money, because 4 out of 5 Americans live paycheck to the paycheck, there's something called goldbacks. They're 24-karat gold currency that you can actually buy for as little as about $5.50 each, and it keeps up with gold. So this, my first goldback I bought earlier this year was $3.92.
Yeah.
It's worth $5.44 today, because gold has gone up. And this is a former legal tender that we're trying to get passed to be used. Yeah. So if people don't have a lot of money, if they only have 5, 10, 20 bucks to invest and they want physical gold and silver, they can definitely buy physical. And if they have less than that, they can buy electronic gold and silver as well.
That is amazing. All right, Daniel. And to all of our listeners, we're going to continue. We have John Stimberger that's going to be with us. We are going to be talking about Amendment 4 and why it's important for the body of Christ to be informed and for all of our listeners to smarten up and understand what's taking place with this. And we're going to look to get John on phone right now. We're going to go to a song. And remember, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, at the Finn Center, Port St. Lucie, Jonathan Kahn, as well as Paul Wilbur, will be with us.
The last race.
All right, we're coming back. Sorry to drop the volume there on Paul Wilbur. Paul Wilbur and Jonathan Kahn are going to be right here in the Treasure Coast of Florida tomorrow evening, 6 o'clock at the Finn Center in Fort Pierce, Florida. So for more information, give our station a call or go online to TCC Alliance, tccalliance.com. I want to welcome John Stimberger. He is a friend of ours here on the Treasure Coast of Florida. He's come and met with us. And, John, hopefully we have a good connection now.
Yeah, it's great to be with you today.
All right, great to have you. Just mentioned a few moments ago that Amendment 4 is on, hopefully on everybody's mind. Why is this so bad?
Well, to take a break from the hurricane for just a brief moment, trying to get people to focus on what I think is the most important thing that you'll vote on, arguably just shy of being just as important as the presidential race. Amendment 4 is a constitutional amendment that will be on the ballot to vote on. There actually be six amendments, but Amendment 4 is the most important. It's also the worst amendment.
Mm-hmm.
About it is a pro-abortion rights amendment that will enshrine abortion in the Florida Constitution in such a way that will basically strike down every single reasonable health and safety regulation designed to protect women and protect unborn children. So 35 years of work in Florida, being now one of the most pro-life states in the nation with the heartbeat law that protects an unborn child after they have a beating heart, is all gone. It's permanent. There'll be nothing that can be done about it. And so we need to vote no on Amendment 4. It's really bad. It's very extreme. It's not what it seems at all because it's very, very deceptive.
Yeah. All right, John, what about parental consent? I know this is a big deal to parents, grandparents, and to all of us. What is the difference between that and notification?
So this law, this constitutional amendment, if it's enacted, it will strike down every pro-life law, especially the one requiring a parent's consent. Now, the ballot initiative actually, the summary actually talks about parental notification and that that's going to happen. But there's a big difference between notification and consent. Notification is just a requirement that 48 hours before a letter goes out to the parent, the mother saying your grandchild is about to be destroyed. Whether or not the minor girl gives the doctor, the quote-unquote abortion doctor, the correct address or whatever, remains to be seen, but that's the notice requirement. Oh, by the way, this is going to happen. That's different than consent. Consent is the minor girl has to get a mother or a father's permission or go through a judicial bypass proceeding where the court determines that the minor child is mature enough. That law, parental consent, will be struck down. It is currently the law in Florida, but it will be destroyed based upon the force of this amendment if this amendment passes. Notification will still be there because it's actually in the Constitution itself, but the parental consent law that's on the statute will be destroyed, and abortion will be the only major surgical procedure that a minor can get without their parents' knowledge or consent or anything. So it's really bad, and it's another reason why we need to vote no on Amendment 4.
So, John, what is the issue with rape, incest, and the health of the mother? There seems to be a lot of two-stepping here and deception taking place.
The ads on the other side, they're not going to even talk about the amendment. They're not going to even talk about the language of the amendment. They don't want you to read the amendment. They don't want you to know the impact of the amendment. All they're talking about is, quote-unquote, how extreme Florida's abortion ban is. Well, it's not a ban. It's a protection on unborn children and a protection for women and children. But basically, they're lying. There is exceptions from conception to 15 weeks of pregnancy. There are exceptions for rape, incest, life of the mother, fatal abnormalities when the child is going to be born in a way that could cause them to be die within hours or days. And then also there's a health exception for a major risk to a substantial risk to bodily harm to the woman. That is an exception also. Now, many of us don't agree with a lot of these exceptions in the pro-life movement, but the bottom line is that there are exceptions in the Florida law for rape, incest, life of the mother, fatal abnormalities, and the health exception for substantial risk of impairment of a bodily function. And so those are in the law, so they're completely lying about that. And so that's the case. Now, after 15 weeks, the exception for rape and incest drop off, and the other exceptions remain. There's also an exception for human trafficking as well. If a child's been human trafficked and is pregnant because of that, there's an exception of that in the first 15 weeks. So again, the other side is just lying. There's really no accountability. Mm-hmm. Even the PolitiFact of the Tampa Bay Times held them to be mostly false, their claim that there were no exceptions for rape and incest in Florida. So even the secular media has recognized that the pro-abortion rights campaign, trying to say yes to four, was lying to us and is not giving us a false claim. So that's what, another reason why we want everyone to vote no on Amendment 4.
All right. Where are the major political leaders on this amendment? I believe a lot of people are wanting to know that because there's a lot of distracting news.
Well, obviously, there are many of our Democratic friends who are pro-life, rank and file, voter people in the field, mom and pop people. But unfortunately, the entire Democratic Party is against wants to pass Amendment 4 and make abortion a fundamental right in Florida, mm-hmm. enshrining it to such a place that any law that was passed that would burden abortion at all would be automatically struck down. So it would strike down the parental consent law, the 24-hour waiting period. It would strike down the prohibition even on that we can't fund abortion with taxpayers' dollars. So that's very important. But President Trump has come out and clearly said he is going to vote no on 4. The governor, Governor Ron DeSantis, he is amazing. He is really literally campaigning full time, mm-hmm. trying to raise money and doing everything he can to defeat Amendment 4. So the Republican Party as a whole has come out, almost every single county executive committee and the party at a state level have come out against Amendment 4 as well, because it's very extreme. It's not what it seems. So everybody is on the same page saying vote no on Amendment 4 in the Republican Party. In the Democratic Party, it's just the opposite. All of the Democrats, not a single one, at least in leadership, is saying to vote no. They're all promoting yes on abortion rights, unfettered, unlimited for any reason.
John, if the unfortunate condition happened where this actually passed, what could be done in the courts to fix it?
Well, that's the thing. This is for all the marbles. This is permanent. If this passes, we will all die. Everyone listening to my voice will die, and this will still be in the Constitution. A constitutional amendment, there will be no branch of government that can do anything to stop it, not the Supreme Court, not the executive branch of the government, not the legislature. So there's nothing that can be cleaned up. They can't redo anything. It will be a matter for the courts to interpret the language, which mm-hmm. is very extreme and very deceptive. The first part of the amendment talks about no law shall prohibit, penalize, delay, or restrict abortion before viability. Well, that sounds like some, you know, okay, well then after viability, after the child can sustain itself outside the mother's womb, then the state can restrict abortion. But that's not the case, because the second part says, or when necessary to protect the patient's health, as determined by a patient's health care provider. Well, health is an extremely broad term. In the companion case to Roe v. Wade, Doe v. Bolton, they define health to be extremely broad. It's literally any emotional, familial, any kind of symptom at all that affects your life in any way. Even mental distress is considered health. The Supreme Court in that same case cites the World Health Organization. Complete wellness, it's just a very broad definition. Well, the state of being pregnant, what do you have? You have back pain, you've got nausea, you have health issues that are affected. So any issue regarding health could be used as a justification to destroy an unborn child. So it's extremely broad. And then there's no definitions here. You know, when the pregnant pig amendment occurred years ago, it had 6 definitions. The fish ban net had 5 definitions. And the indoor smoking ban amendment had 8 definitions. Even the medical marijuana amendment had 4 pages of definitions. I mean, that's a lot of definitions. Amendment 4 has 0 definitions. And they did it that way on purpose. They're trying to deceive people. They don't want the court to know what these words mean. They were asked multiple times in oral argument in the hearings, and they just didn't have any answer because they don't want to be pinned down. They want it to be a slippery, moving scale.
Okay, John, if this passes, you know, you just talked about that, what can be done to fix it. I know a lot of our listeners were thinking that if the Roe versus Wade was turned down, then we would have no more battle. But what happens if this does actually get turned down? What is the next step strategy? Is the fight over, or do we just need to realize we're up against a major battle in this arena?
Well, this is the final battle for life and for unborn children. There will be no other battle. If we lose this, we will have a permanent state. We will be one of the most pro-abortion states in the entire country. We will have young ladies from the north of us and the southern counties coming to Florida. Will become a destination state for late-term abortions. This amendment will allow abortions through all 9 months of pregnancy for any health reasons. It's so radical. And even pro-choice people. I mean, they would be very uncomfortable with it. They understand how extreme this amendment is. Most Florida voters who are not Christians, they believe that abortion should be provided, but there should be some limitations and some regulations, and they're very uncomfortable with abortions when a child can feel pain and in the late terms. And that's exactly what this amendment does, is it allows late terms abortion. It's very clear when you understand the health reason, for any reason. And so, it's very bad. It's for all the marbles. And we just need to defeat this thing, because if we don't, we're going to have to live with it. We will go from being the most pro-life state in the nation with our heartbeat bill to one of the most pro-abortion states in the nation literally overnight. And so it's for all the marbles. If you're concerned about life, if you love unborn children and believe that's part of God's heart, this is something that we need to vigorously oppose.
John, there's a lot of deception. We hear that, and you're speaking to that today. What about this statement that's being advertised that women are dying, literally dying because of pro-life laws?
It's complete nonsense. There's a doctor that they have who's saying women are going to die. If you listen, parse out his words, it's just a scare tactic. Some people are saying, oh, women are not able to get health care when they have miscarriages. That is completely false. In every single state in the country, a doctor is able to do a D&E and scrape the uterus out of the remains of the child if the child is dead and stillborn. There's no state in the country that would disallow that, and it's completely different. This, we're talking about elective abortions, not in the unfortunate case where there's a miscarriage. So it's really a lie and a scare tactic when they talk about these things, and they're not clear. They blur the categories, and they talk about women dying and women suffering, and even Kamala Harris did this in the debate. She talked about women suffering, bleeding in the car, and it's such a bunch of nonsense. Of course, you know, there's always risk to everything in the world. Now, childbirth is literally way safer than abortion. That's clear in peer-reviewed refereed journals and research. There's bogus studies saying the opposite, but that's not correct. Those are studies done by pro-abortion doctors who actually do abortions and profit from it. The truth is that live births are much healthier, much safer than undergoing a surgical abortion, which is fraught with complications, perforation of the uterus, hemorrhaging, just all kinds of problems that can come from that, not to mention depression and postpartum syndromes after the child has been aborted, and just living with that guilt on your conscience for the rest of your life. So it's just a lie that women are dying. I don't think that's correct at all.
Is there a financial impact of Amendment 4 as well?
Yeah, so every ballot that you'll have, and there'll be six amendments on the ballot, you'll see the title, you'll see the summary, and then you'll see a financial impact statement. That's very important, because economists gather together, the top economists in the state, and they determine what is the financial impact to the state going to be as a result of this. And Amendment 4's financial impact makes it very clear that more abortions will occur. This is going to affect the revenue of the state, the lack of revenue in the state available, and it's also going to lead to the removal of parental consent. The most important thing that the financial impact statement says, though, is it's probably going to lead, more than likely, to the striking down of the prohibitions and allow taxpayer funding of abortion. This is particularly odious, because for a taxpayer to have to agree to destroy the life of another human being is a very odious thing. And so we saw this happen recently in Michigan. They passed a very broad pro-abortion amendment, very similar to Amendment 4. And then just weeks ago, the pro-abortion rights community, they filed suit, and they said, okay, well, abortion is a fundamental right now. You have to strike this down, this prohibition against Medicaid funding for abortion, and you have to allow taxpayer funding of abortion. So it's just really bad. That's not mainstream Florida. voters are very uncomfortable with that. So we're encouraging people, look, read the language of the amendment. The other side's scare tactics, oh, abortion between a doctor and a woman, keep the government out of your private life, all this stuff. Well, read the amendment. They're not talking about the amendment at all. I mean, it's crazy. They don't mention it ever. They barely even want to debate the language. And when they do, they just simply lie about the impact. So the financial impact statement, we want everyone to read it carefully because it will help you understand that Amendment 4 is bad and we need to say no to it.
Well, John, we're very thankful that that God has raised you up in our state, and I know that you have a long track record of representing biblical values for the family, and we thank you for that. I know that you've had a little bit of a relocation. Where are you now?
Yeah, so I am the president of Liberty Council Action, and folks can get involved, by the way, by going to lcaction.org. That's lcaction.org, and we have videos there. We have, you can meet your field directors. We have 6 field directors throughout the state. You can get cards. You can get signs. All those resources are available at lcaction.org, and how you can help people vote no on 2. We want, especially your pastors, if you can go to your pastor, get them involved. Many, many pastors are waking up to how bad this amendment is. Look, if we cannot get Christians to pull a lever to save the life of an unborn child, we are in sad shape.
Mm-hmm.
This is so easy to do. It's something everyone can do to protect the most vulnerable and innocent human beings on the face of the earth. The scripture declares in James that pure and undefiled religion, no other place in the Bible that talks about pure and undefiled religion, is to rescue and visit and be with the widow and the orphan.
Yep.
There's something deep in the heart of God for those who cannot help themselves at the beginning of life and at the end of life. And so this is an issue that should be at the foremost of Christians' hearts and minds. This is not politics. This is policy. This is moral. This is the most significant human rights issue of our day. And so people need to say no to 4 and help everybody else vote no to Amendment 4.
John, I have another guest in studio that actually started the our hour out, and he's the gold and silver guy. His name is Daniel Diaz, and he had a question. I think he's met you
sure.
before.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Hey, Daniel.
Hey, I got a question about the amendment itself. I think in every state that the abortion amendment passed, their threshold was 50%. I don't think a single state that got an amendment passed hit that 60% threshold, which I think right now is our only saving grace, that our threshold for an amendment is 60%. Is that correct?
Yes. Florida is one of the only states that has a 60% threshold. There's a couple of other states that have some things that trigger a 60% threshold, but we're the only one, I think, across the board that has 60% to pass it. Now, that's very good news for us. Another thing good is the governor. Governor DeSantis, he is literally full-time raising money, advocating on this. He's a very powerful advocate. He's got literally his state agencies doing the same thing. And so that's huge. So between the 60%, and we've got amazing field directors. We have 6 field directors. This is the best team I've ever had in 20 years of doing this work. So we're awakening people. It's so extreme. That helps us also, because this is the most extreme amendment in the country. It would allow abortion on demand for any health reason through all 9 months of pregnancy. There's no parental consent. There's no doctors required. They replace doctors with healthcare providers, and that's a very broad thing. So even an abortion clinic worker could approve an abortion. And so what they really want is they want non-doctors to hand out abortion pills, because that's over 50% of abortion now, these horrible poisonous pills that are given to women in 2 parts. And so, yeah, but I think we can win this if the church comes alive. The base did not mobilize in Ohio and these other states. We need to make the base aware. We need to make the Republican Party aware, the churches aware, and just ordinary voters understand how extreme this is. They don't even need to be conservatives or Republicans. They just need to understand that this is bad policy and will be very extreme, and there's nothing we can do to change it. It will literally be permanent unless some miracle occurs in our culture and public opinion.
Yeah, and the Republican Party in the River County is, I'm on the precinct committee team, and we're training our precinct committee men and women on how to talk about Amendment 4 and calling every single voter that's a likely voter in their precinct. So I know the party in my county is definitely doing their part in getting out the message on vote on 4.
Yeah, Senator Erin Grahl there in Indian River is just amazing. She's been a hero of ours, and
she's a champion.
Also, getting the word out as well.
Yeah, she's a champion.
Well, John, WCNO is a radio station that has a big mouth for God. You know, we're a 100,000-watt station, and when something's pressing, I have a weekly program that I host as a general manager, and we would love to bring you back when you have something on your heart that needs to get out. And we will replay trying to catch the prime drive times in the afternoon as well to get the most mileage out of this. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today, and we're gonna stay in the fight for life, because that's what Jesus came for, to give us life.
Amen.
Very good. Thanks for your time and allowing me to speak.
Thanks, John. God bless. Goodbye. Take care.
Servant David, rebuilding the temple of God.